Sports Radio 92.9 game. It is Sam and Greg, 16th day of August, a Sunday, and you guys have let us be a part of yours. Thank you to the folks at Stockbridge, Union City, Carrollton, and Sugar Hill. Those are the pick cities for today's show. I don't know why I don't run them down more often.
That's all right.
Those are the four cities.
Salute.
Exactly. I want to make sure I get this one more time here before we leave. All right, my problem with get to Chad, and Chad's probably got something to say here to D'Antoni. He didn't win a championship in the NBA. He won it in Europe.
Okay.
And that year he won Coach of the Year that first time. I got a problem with that. First of all, the team didn't win. It was San Antonio that came out of the West, and they ended up winning the chip. Steve Nash got the MVP that year. He got Coach of the Year. And a lot of people feel like that's and that left a bad taste in some folks' mouths. And I think that's where it started with me and how they a lot of individual awards for the players on his teams. Not a lot of rings. That's what I was going to say. Having said that, Chad, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fine. Chad Bishop joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 game. Now, let me ask you a question. Sam and I throughout the show this morning have been talking about this upcoming week with the Braves. Uh-huh, and what's in store for them. Are you going to be on the road with them?
A little bit. I'll explain to you guys how we're doing it. We have Gabe Burns, my esteemed associate, will be in Minnesota for three. I'm flying to Chicago to take in the White Sox games, driving to Milwaukee to take in those two, and then the both of us will be meeting in Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the Sunday night baseball game.
There you go.
Yeah.
Teaming up on it now.
Yeah.
Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer.
Yeah.
All right. So explain what's going on this weekend with Arizona, or are we sleeping on this Arizona team? Because they out west, you know, everybody talks about the Dodgers, but these guys may emerge when the dust settles.
Yeah, no doubt. I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, the Braves are certainly not playing well, and I think that started in Yankee Stadium. And to be fair, they've played some really, really tough pitching with what the Yankees rolled out there with Max Fried and Cam Schlittler and Garrett Cole, and now you're facing Brandon Pfaadt, and you got Michael Soroka on the hill today for the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are playing really well. It's crazy to think Braves played them back in April. I mean, that's ages ago, right? Completely different ball club, really, from both sides. And the Diamondbacks are playing outstanding baseball. And the thing I liked watching them is just how active they are offensively, right? Putting the ball in play, laying bunts down, stealing bases, really putting pressure on the opposing team. And the Braves have not handled that well. And while Weiss always says it's not who you play, right? It's when you're playing them. And this is a real tough Diamondbacks out right now. Those guys are playing really well. But like I said, the Braves are not playing incredibly great right now either. So those two things combined have made for a series win for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, folks, hey, always great to catch up with this guy. Spending time on this morning talking Braves baseball with Chad Bishop. And he is social. Always can find him at Mr. Chad Bishop, at Mr. Chad Bishop. The bats have gone a little silent, you know, not as productive this weekend. They did get a great pitching start Friday night. They just weren't able to convert and get the win. Talk about this pitching staff who may be coming out. And I know one guy's up at Gwinnett that he got their eyes on. Hopefully he'll get a chance to come. But he seemed to have been very patient this season with Smith-Schauer. Didn't want to rush him. Where do you feel like he is right now, A.J. Smith-Schauer?
Yeah, I think he's ready. You know, right? His last two starts, actually, threw 95 pitches in each of those starts. The start prior gave up one hit, and that was a leadoff infield single to the first batter he faced, seven strikeouts. He's ready to go. It's just a balancing act with this Braves pitching staff. Excuse me. I know Grant Holmes had a terrible night last night, but before that had been outstanding in his last two starts. Bryce Elder seems to have turned the corner. We know what Martin Perez is going to do every single outing, and Chris Sale is your ace, and then you bring in Tyler Mahle over in the trade from the Giants. And so it's a situation now where you got some good options. Reynaldo Lopez is also coming off the IL soon from his little minor knee tweak that he had. And then you got to throw A.J. Smith-Schauer in the mix, and you got to make the decision, do we want this guy to be a long relief man out of the bullpen? Do we want to make him a starter and make one of these other current starters move to the bullpen? Do you want to go with a six-man rotation maybe for a week or two until you get to September? Or do you wait until September to call A.J. Smith-Schauer up? That could be the easiest solution. But, you know, with a lead, seven and a half games, you can't be too cautious, right? You can't go into a prevent defense here. You got to stay on the offensive. And having that arm like A.J. Smith-Shawver down at AAA is a valuable weapon. So you got to kind of figure out what to do with him, what's best for him and the team moving forward.
Chad Bishop joining Sam and Greg Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Is it too early to tell what kind of coaching style Walt Weiss has? Obviously, he's got the lead in the division, and things are looking good. As you mentioned, some of the guys are going to be coming back. Is it a little bit of Brian Snitker? Is it some Bobby Cox? Or is it his own? You said he's carving out his own path. How are you assessing this season and how he's handling the locker room and these players right now?
Yeah, I think it's all combined. I mean, you know, you got to remember this guy did manage under Brian Snitker for a long time, or he was a coach under Brian Snitker for a long time, and of course played under Bobby Cox, and then was a manager himself out in Colorado. And when we've talked to him about these topics before, it seems to be a very healthy balance. A guy that buys into the analytics, looks at them, buys into the technology, looks at that stuff, lets the players sort of focus on those sort of things, but also has a pretty astute old school feel for baseball, you know, when to make a gut decision, when the matchups tell him to do this, but he knows his pitcher is doing that, so he's going to go that direction. You know, being a player before, I think, helps a ton with these guys. Not to say that non-players who manage don't have the respect of their players, but, you know, there's something different, right? When you look up at your manager and you know that guy went through the grind and went through the spring trainings and went through the daily, like I said, grind of it all. And Walt Weiss did that at the highest level, being a rookie of the year and playing for a long time in Major League Baseball. So I think that earns him some respect too. And he's got a lot of trust. He talks all the time about trust, about being open with the guys. There's no gray areas, right, with Walt Weiss. He's going to shoot it to you straight. And guys, I think, really, really appreciate that as well. And then in between the lines, super aggressive, right? When he sees a win, he's going to go for it. I was talking with someone the other day about how aggressive he is day in and day out. If he sees that win in front of him, he's going to go for it 9 times out of 10. And I think the players really appreciate that as well.
Thoughts about this, you know, the way he's been doing some things with the batting order, and is how you feeling about that? I know you want to give Ronald Acuna some days in right field, but also some days as DH. You're seeing Baldwin do some same things with him and kind of trading off the spots up as leadoff. You feel like that's something we're going to see continue down the stretch here?
I do. And that's something else I've sort of come to, you know, enjoy watching with Walt Weiss teams is, and I know probably Braves fans in the past probably were frustrated with the exact same lineup rolling out there every single day. It's not that way with Walt Weiss, right? If there's a left-handed pitcher on the mound, you're going to get one lineup. If there's a right-handed pitcher on the mound, you're going to get a different lineup. If someone's struggling, they might get a day off. Like you said, we've seen Ronald Acuna hitting leadoff. We've seen him in the two-hole, flip-flopping with Drake Baldwin. We've seen Austin Riley buried at the bottom of this lineup for a long time. I'm curious to see if maybe he starts to move up a little bit. Some guys like Mauricio Dubon and maybe Michael Harris are cooling off a little bit. Do they slide down a little bit? He's not afraid to sort of shake things up and change things up as far as the batting order is concerned. And I think I like that. And I think the players like it too, because it shakes up the mundaneness of it, right? Like coming to the ballpark every day. All right, I'm hitting seventh today, or I'm hitting second, or, you know, I get the day off, which is frustrating for players, but I think they understand, like, time and time again, they need that day off to rest, to recuperate, to recover, to refocus. That's been huge for this team, and Walt Weiss is going to continue to do that. So really enjoyable to see the way he manages that batting order.
123 games so far this season. Two guys on this team have played every one. I know you know one of them, and that's Matt Olson. The other one is Ozzie Albies. Right below them at 122 is Austin Riley. You mentioned him a minute ago. How are you feeling about his bat and things turning around post-All-Star break?
Feeling better, right? It's still not great. You know, strikeouts are still way too high, but it's night and day from what it was before the All-Star break. And I really truly believe, talking to Austin all season long, I think it was probably a little bit too much information overload, right? Is it the shoulder? Is it the hip? Is it my batting stance? I'm watching video on this. I'm trying to tinker with this. I think it was just getting away for a few days, going to Mississippi, going back home for the All-Star break, and just playing with his boys, being out in the woods, not picking up a baseball bat. I really think that helped to recenter him and refocus him. And he's been great since the All-Star break. Putting the bat on the ball is the biggest thing, right? Like when you watch an Austin Riley game now, yeah, there's a couple strikeouts, but there's still some good hard contact. Walt Weiss, a stat that an analytical stat he always points to is expected batting average, which is kind of one of these new age things, right? Like what the heck does that mean, right? But it's It's that when a ball is hit, it's expected to land for a hit. Now, maybe the defense makes a great play on it and it goes out as a line out, right? But a ball that's hit over 100 miles off the bat, a ball that's hit at a great launch angle. He hit one the other night 380 feet to the gap in right center, and the center fielder chased it down. Probably should have been a double. So things like that, watching with Austin Riley, like the at-bats are good, the contact is good. A lot of those are starting to fall in, and he's getting his batting average back up and being a big cog in this offense now.
Yeah. Fantastic. I'm sorry, I was going to jump in there, but I thought you had something you wanted to ask. Well, listen, I just wanted, before we let him go here, I was talking about him earlier, and the one guy, who, the last person you think of on this team looking for any kind of publicity or shine or flowers is the guy who should be talked about in some cases the most, and that's Matt Olson. And the streak that he's on and who he is, just the stability of him on first base for this team, something that the managers have not had to think about since Freddie left. When you, if you're sitting with somebody and they brought up this name, how would you talk about Matt Olson?
I mean, I think this season, at least, he needs to be in the MVP discussion. I don't know if he will be, right, because he doesn't play for the Dodgers, or he's not Pete Crow Armstrong, or he's not one of the best teams in baseball with the Brewers. But man, I mean, what that guy does day to day, and you can look at the offensive numbers, but what he does defensively, stretching out and collecting balls and stopping balls from getting to the backstop, playing the position of first base, and then being a leader in the clubhouse, nobody talks about a ton. I mean, he's typically the last guy to leave that clubhouse when we're in there most nights. He's always willing to stand up for the team when they lose a game. He's just the consummate pro, right? He goes about it the right way and never seems to go in a prolonged slump offensively. He's going to have an 0-for-4 or a 1-for-4 or an 0-for-3 a couple of nights back-to-back, but that's not going to last very long. I mean, the guy is just incredible, really, what he does. And a lot of those homers this season, why I put him in that MVP discussion, are 8th inning, 9th inning, tying the game, taking the lead. Mm-hmm. Seems to come in those, you know, quote-unquote clutch moments, man. The guy just continues to get it done. And, you know, I hope for his sake, his name is in that MVP discussion when we get here into September.
Chad, just last night, Braves are out of this game, but Matt Olson comes up late, gets a double, ends up scoring. It was a run that didn't matter, but as you just said, he doesn't go to sleep despite the score, and he gets up there and gives you everything he's got. The guy reminds me.
He's not, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, he is the Atlanta Braves' Tim Duncan. He's that guy. You know what I mean?
Just yeah, night in and night out. You know what you're going to get. And like you said, I mean, just because he's so quiet and so reserved, probably doesn't get the notoriety or the attention around the league that he probably should. But that's just who he is, man. He's just ho-hum Matt Olson, and he's going to be in there every night, and he's probably going to hit a home run for you.
Listen, will you be able to talk to us next Sunday from Williamsport? You think?
You betcha, man. Night game, I'll be all yours.
All right. We want to talk to you next Sunday when you're in Williamsport, and we'll get a report from there, but also on this week from the Braves. So, as always, Chad Bishop, we thank you very much, man, and travel safely.
All right, guys. Thanks.
There you go. Chad Bishop joined us. I was going to tell him to get me some pizza and bring it back here from Chicago.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Nah.
I don't think it'll make it through Williamsport and then back here.